Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Who has been feeling really tight, achy, restricted? You feel like you need to release those restrictions or just stretch all the time, but you don't really have time because let's be honest, who has time to add an hour of mobility a day? Not me. And that's what I want to help break you from. And I want to really help reset you within the body. So I am so excited about this year's brand new Grateful for My Body Challenge. This is completely different, something we've never done before. You are going to get 36 different videos over the course of 30 days. 36 where I am fully educating you throughout everything because you know how I am. I want you to truly understand your body. So I do full video, full cueing, full education within these so that you can really understand. And I make sure that I'm super mindful of your time. So these videos go anywhere from 3 minutes to 15 minutes at max. And what we're really going to do is reset the body. So this is about improving your mobility from the upper, lower, full body, but also improving your nerve mobility through your tissues as well. So we're going to get into nerve. We are going to get into breath work. We're really going to touch on pelvic floor. Pelvic floor is going to be a huge one throughout this challenge. So we're going to specifically focus on flows just for pelvic floor opening, creating length, creating space, and also activation of the pelvic floor. How do we use that through movement? And how does that start to translate and progress so that we can get to something like running and feel stable and good within our pelvic floor? So we're really going to do it all throughout this challenge. And I even added bonus classes that include foam rolling. You don't have to have a foam roller. You don't have to have tools, but I'm going to show you how you can use different tools like a gorgeous ball, a ball, a foam roller, different things that really impact how our body feels on the inside so that we can feel better on the outside and move through life. So this is really like a reset program. So if you're ready to reset your body, feel something different, come join us in this Grateful for My Body Challenge. Right now is our early bird discount. So this week only is $45. It is going to go up after this. So that's less than $2 a day. I really highly recommend if you're ready to add in that mobility, to get that accountability, to show up every day, come join this brand new Grateful for My Body. I cannot tell you, I am so excited. So the three tips that you might not have thought about to improve your mobility, and this is something that we're really excited to just kind of talk about. I think we've discussed each of these in other podcasts throughout time. So if you've listened to the Optimal Body Podcast for a while, hopefully you will recognize what we're saying and you'll be able to maybe explain it, why we're saying these things as we're kind of talking about it. That is the hope, right? Is that you're continuing to learn and become educated as we continue to go through these topics. But I think these three are really, really crucial because it is the continued, you know, like I'm stretching, I'm foam rolling, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm seeing no changes.
Yeah. And I think there's just like the stereotypical get to the gym, like touch your toes, pull your heel to your butt, do a couple of these quick stretches, and then jump on the treadmill or the elliptical or get into your weights routine or your F45 class or whatever it may be. And so I think there's just a lot of misconceptions around stretching or mobility and what it actually means and what we should be focused on or how to do it in a way that's actually beneficial to prep your body to do whatever movement you're about to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny, you know, to see it does go on that spectrum where it's like you either barely tapping into any kind of stretching in your life, or you think that you have to do yoga and, you know, really lay in positions for hours at a time to make any kind of difference. And we just want to kind of touch on how that's not necessarily true. And, you know, there's three specific things we're going to talk about. Obviously, there's more. There's always more. Quick little interruption here. Now, something that really helps with improving mobility is feeling good within your body. Now, I have talked about this before, but I need to bring it up again, that the Vuori loungewear, like none other. The moment that I felt it the first time I put it on, it was like 3 years ago, I tried on my girlfriend's pants because I needed to borrow some loungewear at her place. And she gave me these joggers that were the softest yet cutest looking joggers. And I was like, what are these? And then I went out and proceeded to buy myself some and Dom some, because specifically what I'm talking about is the performance jogger. So incredibly comfortable. And we actually have a special link for podcast listeners in our show notes. So find this link, because when you use that link, you get 20% off your first order. So if you've never ordered from Vuori, this is your chance, this is your opportunity. I mean, beyond loungewear, they have everything. So if you're looking for athletic wear, if you're looking for anything, they even opened up stores locally here in LA. And one of my girlfriends who came to visit us, that was one of the first places she wanted to go, because she's heard such great things about Vuori. And when you try on these clothes, when you feel them, the material is like none other, especially, I'm telling you, to sleep in. So, or just to lounge in throughout the day or go out. Dom goes out in his loungewear all the time. It is truly my favorite. They look so good. They're stylish, but they feel incredible. So if you haven't checked out yet, check out the performance jogger in specifically. That is my all-time favorite, something that I got Dom for his birthday, and I probably will continue to. So definitely check that link below. Again, you get 20% off of your first order from Vuori. So specifically, use that link in our show notes. But I think if you were to touch on within your body these three things, you know, it can start to make a really huge impact. And we'll just dive into number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Number one.
Number one, we're going to say that if you are not down regulating your system and practicing this on a regular basis, then your body is probably chronically going to feel tight no matter how much you stretch or foam roll.
Yeah. And by down regulation, again, Jen mentioned, we've talked about things that can help you down regulate or behaviors that are seen as down regulation, like breath work, a ton. And we're more than anything referring to the nervous system and how so many of us spend our day in this fight or flight, this reactive state where our brain is tending to send out more inflammatory type hormones, more stress signals to our muscles, so they're going to be on guard and ready, rather than living into this parasympathetic portion of our system. And so we're going to give a few examples of what you can do to get into that parasympathetic system. And number one, and the one we always talk about, is breath work and living into long exhales, breathing down into your low rib cage rather than breathing up into the chest and using those neck muscles, breathing into the low rib cage and focusing on the exhale being slightly longer or significantly longer than the inhale.
Mm-hmm. Huge, huge impact. I mean, and this is something that you can do when you're driving. This is something you can do when you're sitting at your desk. Like, how can we start to take an intentional longer exhale and bring a little bit more awareness to that portion of your breath throughout the day? We're all breathing, right? We're all living here breathing. So if we could just take a little bit more intentional awareness, not only on a longer exhale, but maybe even starting to breathe in and out throughout our nose more, nasal breathing. This is huge, right? And there is this capacity to be limited in our ability to achieve these big inhales from our low rib cage if we don't have good rib cage mobility, if we don't have good thoracic mobility, upper back mobility, you know, if we just haven't been taught and we're not aware of what this may look like, because a lot of people have traditionally thought diaphragmatic breathing to just be belly breathing. If I push my belly in and out, then I am diaphragmatic breathing, which we have talked about at length, but that's not necessarily true. So starting to get that mobility back within the low rib cage and the upper back is really crucial to help with down regulation practices, and something that we're going to do in the upcoming challenge.
Yeah, I think the great thing about the Grateful for My Body this year is you actually have breath practices in there that you demonstrate.
Yeah.
And so if people are wondering, often we'll just talk about this or we'll talk about it during stretching. Just make sure you're using long exhales during your stretches. This time you actually have specific videos on breath work, which is incredible because in reality, what we're doing with this long exhale is we're telling our system that it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, often people will be seeing how much they can push into the end of a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite phrases is when you're stretching, you shouldn't be going after a destination, like touching the toes or getting a certain distance or laying down on the ground. You should be going after a sensation or the ability to relax into that stretch and then feel those muscles just give because they feel safe. And you kind of mentioned how it could be difficult to initially start breathing into that low rib cage if it's not something that you're used to. It also might be difficult to exhale for a long period of time over 12 or 16 seconds. Sometimes I've been working with patients or clients and said, okay, try exhaling over 10 seconds and all their air is out after 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I can't slow down anymore, right? And yes, if we've been breathing a certain way for a certain amount of time, it might be difficult to get back or to get into that practice, but it's kind of a positive feedback loop. And the more you train it, the easier it will be, and then the faster you will grow in your ability to downregulate or use breath as a tool to impact your nervous system.
And there's so many breath practices out there. They're all amazing. I mean, there's so many different types of breath work that you can do. I think it's understanding the intention behind it, because I do see some people teaching breath work where it's just about the emotional release, the emotional aspect, which is, again, a great intention if that's what you're using. But that some of those breath practices can be very up-regulatory. They can, where we're really focusing on big inhales and we're focusing more on the inhale than the exhale. Mm-hmm. And you're really expanding through the not only low rib cage, but entire chest, entire rib cage. And we start to kind of get this system a little bit more excitatory, where if we're talking about wanting to get into more mobility, well, then we have to change the intention of the breath practice. And that is where it becomes an understanding a little bit deeper, right? Rather than just, well, this is the breath practice that I learned in yoga, or this is the breath practice that I learned from this person. That's great. But what is the intention behind it? And what is that really doing to the nervous system? And that's ultimately what we want to, you know, be able to have within our grasp and have control over, and understanding what else can help to downregulate my system. Well, bright lights like we have in this room aren't great for downregulating. Dim lights. So putting yourself, you know, outside of an office space, a hospital space, like a lot of those can have really bright lights, or that the type of light is just really detrimental to the system. So getting yourself into a little bit of dimmer, calmer environment, laying down on the floor, putting your legs up on a wall, like all of these things, or even like child's pose where our head is lower than our body, all of these kinds of poses and situations that we can change and manipulate within our body, we can help to create more of this down regulatory effect, which ultimately then we go into a stretch or a mobility. Are we doing our exercise that includes mobility? We're going to find a lot more range.
And there are so many different down regulatory or down regulation practices, like Jen's mentioned a few more. There's other things like, I mean, looking at a sunrise or a sunset, or looking at the horizon in general, and allowing our vision not to be focused on one thing, which is very sympathetic. If we're looking just at our phone, if we're looking at a screen and fixated on one place, that's a very sympathetic driver, versus looking out and allowing ourselves to use our panoramic peripheral view and looking at a sunset. Also, sunset and sunrise has that those red light rays that are reaching our eyes. That can be very parasympathetic, gets our body ready to go to sleep in the evenings. Vibrations, like bouncing on your heels and just letting the system vibrate a little bit, or humming. I mean, I kid you not, if you're doing some mobility and you start humming, that's also an exhale, but also you get that vibration in your nasal palate, which has tons of parasympathetic nerve endings in it. And that's also a huge parasympathetic driver that also releases nitrogen oxide, which helps with our vessels and blood vessels to open up and get blood out to the system. So again, so many different things that we can do to get into this parasympathetic system and down-regulate.
Yeah. And that's what's going to be fun. We've never done breathwork classes in a course before. And especially, not only, again, it's all the intention behind the breathwork, right? It's not about a specific cool technique or anything like that, but we're really going to bring the intention of, can we open the system first to be able to create the breath that we want to create? And then how can we use that open system now to bring in the intention of the down regulation to help increase that mobility and relax the system? And so that's all of the stuff that we're kind of going to be programming in throughout the month, which I'm really excited for, especially as people step into holiday season and all the stress and love of that. I think it's going to be really impactful. So I'm really excited for that portion.
Absolutely. So number two, moving on. Tip number two for improving mobility, and this one I think most people out there will not have thought of, is how do you relax or do mobility on your pelvic floor?
Ooh, pelvic floor. Ooh. I love this one because when we think of our access point within our body, it's typically our hips. And this is, I've talked about this a lot too. Our hips are access points where we want to hinge from. It's where we want to do a lot of movement from and where we have a lot of movement available within our hips. But what we often neglect is this base of support underneath our pelvis, which holds so much pressure, right? And every time, if we're talking from the breath, every time we use that diaphragm, we're changing the pressure in the system that is impacting our pelvic floor. So if it doesn't have the ability to relax and lengthen, and it's always stressed and tight, well, then we're changing our dynamics within our hip, within our breath, within our system. Like, we're creating this tension still within our system if we never address our pelvic floor.
Yeah, like you said, it's so integrally related to breath with our diaphragm, that if our pelvic floor isn't operating normally, then our diaphragm's probably going to have more difficulties with that pressure change when we inhale and exhale. That might affect us all the way up through our ribs and our shoulders then, and our upper back and neck. So having a dynamic and flexible and mobile pelvic floor that can still provide you stability when you need it, but can mobilize when you're trying to relax or trying to mobilize through the hips and down through the legs, super integral. And there's also different associations between the arch of our feet and our plantar fascia and how our pelvic floor, and whether it holds a lot of tension or tends to be more relaxed. I mean, that reflects all the way down through our base of support at our feet. So again, there's so much that is integrated through that pelvis being the pivot point of our hips. And like you said, most all of our movement, especially upright movement, it's our axis of motion, that it's so important to be focused on what that pelvic floor is doing.
And I know I'm specifically going to go through this a little bit more in one of like the live lectures that we go through in the Grateful for My Body Challenge. But I think looking at how integral when you look at the pelvic floor muscles and where they kind of fall into, they're going to start to come up and then into the glute rotators, the hip rotators. Mm-hmm. So there's such a close relationship between the glutes that we think of and our pelvic floor. And so if we're constantly tight in our glutes, we constantly feel like we have to roll them out, we constantly feel like we have to do pigeon pose and release that tightness, well, are we looking all the way down those glutes and into the pelvic floor? And that's where doing exercises and release techniques that are going to help to address the length and the mobility of our pelvic floor is directly going to play a role in your hips, in your rotation of your hips, and what you feel. And even, you know, especially as a woman, you've been told to kind of not have a tummy, right? Have a flat stomach. I mean, that's at least what was ingrained in me when I was young and growing up, and what we were surrounded by in media and what we saw all the time. And this tightness in your stomach, it puts different pressures down into the pelvic floor. And sometimes if we hold our stomach tight all the time, well, then we're holding our pelvic floor tension tight all the time. And then we've been taught, oh, just Kegel. just Kegel everything away. And it's so counterintuitive. So, you know, I'm really excited to introduce pelvic release classes into the Grateful for My Body Challenge as well.
Yeah, because I mean, you do talk into like using the ball on the ischial tuberosities, right? Or using something.
If we need to, there is one class that's going to have tools.
Yeah, and which I think is so great because when you look at the anatomy specifically of the pelvic floor, like it attaches, you know, all the way down on the, kind of the inside of those sit bones or these bony knobs that you can mm-hmm. feel down on the bottom of your butt, which you kind of mentioned, that's where hamstrings are, mm-hmm. you know, glutes will wrap around and insert near there. So many of these big muscles and movers on the outsides that help move the legs are attached very similar places to where that pelvic floor is too. So, I mean, just so many points as to why it's important to pay attention there. Point number three.
You want me to say it?
I was leading you in, babe.
Oh, sorry. Understanding the relationship between what it means to passively stretch and what it means to actively stretch. Mm. And I think this is a debate that a lot of people can see on social media, and it drives me nuts because I'm like, why are we fighting on people moving, right? The answer is yes. The answer is both. We want passive stretching. We want that ability to downregulate. We want that ability to for the system to feel calm. And we want the ability to be able to move into these active ranges. And not only when we're down and doing, you know, mobility type exercises, but also when we're lifting. If I'm doing a hinge type movement or a squat type movement, that is mobility in action.
Mm-hmm. And again, like you mentioned at the beginning, a lot of people will just be sitting in poses and wanting to get into a certain position and just sitting there for minutes, 5 minutes or more. And, you know, I don't always want to make people think that we're trashing on yoga, because I do think yoga can have a lot of great active components.
Totally.
Where you're supporting in positions and you're moving through you know, these extreme ranges of motions. And there is definitely a place for the passive portion of mm-hmm. mobility, because when we hold a stretch or we hold a muscle length for a certain amount of time, that's what helps our brain. And a lot of these reflex patterns, like we've got these things in our tendons that if we stretch, you know, at a certain rate, they want to protect, mm-hmm. you know, from sprain or from strain. But if we sit in a stretch for an extended amount of time beyond 90 seconds to 2 minutes, those reflexes start to relax and then give us access to more range of motion. Great. Passive stretch worked. But that's where we then need to go to the active portion where, okay, now we have maybe a little more access to some more range. Now, how do we activate that muscle throughout that range to then show the muscle, okay, we can still be safe in this new range of motion that we've gotten? Because sometimes our body might freak out when we've been given extra range. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I don't know what it means to support our body weight within this new range, so now I'm going to tighten back up.
Mm-hmm.
So using that active range throughout the whole available range of motion, especially once you've done some passive stretching, is so important.
Exactly. So it's not one or the other, and I think we don't have to think about it in that way. And for people who don't passive stretch at all, that can start to be detrimental as we start to age. Like our body loses a little bit more fluid, especially in the spine, right? And so if we start to neglect a crucial portion of mobility and we're just like, no, I just strength train and I do it smart and I do it, and keep doing that. Like, don't stop doing that, right? Find your full range of your strength and keep doing it in a very smart way. But I will also say that the people I know who are older, and I'm saying, you know, 65 plus, that are adding passive stretching into their life are, this is anecdotal for me, but way more mobile in life than those who completely neglect it and are so gung-ho on only active mobility. I believe strongly that we need both. And knowing and starting to do it in a smart way can really help to benefit the body in a long term, to help you with lifting, to help you with everyday life, to help you not feel aches and pains. You know, our mobility is our baseline. If we were looking at like a food pyramid structure, but only its movement, we need this full range of motion within our body before we start really strengthening on top of it, before we start building skill, before we start building all these other things. So we need that range. We need our body to feel safe. And we do that by adding in both the passive and active components to build in that safety within the system.
Absolutely. And I think this is where we wanted to talk about these three things because they're so present in this year's Grateful for My Body Challenge. It's coming up to the holidays, right? We're doing this for the whole month of November. Mm-hmm. Sale opens October 17th. Is it already open?
Yes, today.
Okay, sale's already open today. Look at that. I just wasn't sure because we're recording this ahead of time. Sale's open today. You can get in at a discounted price this week only. There's going to be a massive community moving through this challenge together all month for November. It's going to be a great way to get your body down-regulated, get mobile, get feeling good. It's the Grateful for My Body, relax and recover, really to just give some love to your body on the holiday so that you can show up the best you possibly can for the people around you and for your family.
I'm so excited. Of course, I'm still going to be doing, you know, strength training and my usual workouts, which I encourage other people to do, but this is a way to really tap back in to reset the body and recover. And I think that's often neglected when we're talking about healing and we're talking about pain, we're talking about moving forward, especially in a time when life gets more stressful. So I'm really, really excited. I'm so excited for the community that's going to move into this. And you know, if you've been neglecting some of these things that we just mentioned, down regulation, breath work, pelvic floor, come join us. It's going to be fun.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode, and thanks for clicking that link below and coming to join us for the Grateful for My Body Challenge this year. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Thousands of people moving through this 30-day challenge, giving love to their body, improving their mobility, and just relaxing the system. It's going to be the most amazing way to go into the holiday season and prep yourself for the new year. So come join us. And of course, pass this podcast along to anybody else who you think may value it. Invite anybody you may know to the challenge, and we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.